You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are on the second to the last installment of our series called Great Faith. We have been doing a character study and we're looking at the faith of, you know, the different Bible characters. And our goal here is for us to glean on that faith. And the same way, I hope and pray that we will exhibit and display the same faith to God. Today, we will look at the story of this man right here. Of course, you wouldn't know who that person is unless you see the tab. So we're going to look at the story of Moses. And let me see a show of hands for a while. You are familiar with the story of Moses. You're familiar with the story of Moses. You know, I think if you grew up in the Philippines, you've basically heard about this man. Here's the thing. You know, Moses was called many things by different people. Some of the prominent things that he has done was he authored the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He was the one who authored that. And another thing that he has done, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. He has led them out of Egypt, basically was their leader for quite some time. But you know what? If you ask me, one of the great things that this person did, or one of the great titles that he had, was he was a friend of God. That in itself speaks a lot as to who Moses is, and I hope and pray that we will have the same faith that Moses had, okay? I'd like first to turn our Bibles for a while to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 to 27. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, let me just put this up front, Sir Elias, now, and we're going to go back to this later. As we look at the story of Moses, we will understand, and hopefully we will embrace that our faith is shown in the choices that we make. In fact, where you are right now in your walk with God, perhaps, is a result of the faith decisions that you have done 5 years, 3 years ago, or perhaps the lack thereof. I'd like for you to understand that, okay? Our faith is shown in the choices that we make. I want to go straight to verse 23 because there's quite a lot to cover here this morning. So I'd like for us to go to verse 23 right away. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was hidden for 3 months by his parents, by the way, the account of Moses is found in the book of Exodus. The writer of Hebrews, who is anonymous, was basically looking at, you know, what has happened in the book of Exodus, and he starts writing something about Moses. He starts describing the faith of this man. So it says here, they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. For us to understand this, first, we need to understand the word edict here. Okay, ano po ba yung edict? Ito po ba yung mga natutokhang? Hindi po, adik po ang tawag dun. Ang edict po, iba po yan. The main issue here is this word right here. The event that has transpired that allowed the parents of Moses and parents to exhibit such faith is because of this word right here. So that's why we need to understand what an edict means. What is an edict? An edict is a decree, or at least in our generation right now, in a democratic republic like the Philippines, we call that an executive order. Okay, we call that an executive order. So meaning to say, if the Pharaoh says something, if kings would put the seal of their rings on that paper, on that edict, it is already binding to all the subjects in their land. So meaning to say, you have to follow this edict. So the question here is, what was the king's edict that the parents of Moses have displayed that they were not afraid of this one? So the backstory here for us to understand is that we have to backtrack and go to the story found in Exodus chapter 1. So Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 2 covers the first few years of Moses. Well, not first few years, but the snapshot of the life of Moses. It says here, the Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, the people of Moses, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Catch that? Ang utos po ng Pharaoh, lunurin lahat ng baby boys. The context there was, you know, if you know the story of Joseph, they were favored in the land. The problem was they became too many that the Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, considered these foreigners as threats in their land. So he wanted to eradicate. In fact, they have subjected the Jewish people to cruelty, to torture, to torment. In fact, it is seen in archaeological digs that people have found in different places all over Egypt, depicting the Pharaoh holding a Jewish person's head and something like that. It's all over Egypt. Well, I should know that because you know what? I was born beside Egypt. Okay, beside Egypt lang po. Okay, sa Libya po ako pinanganak. So, North Africa. So, African po ako. So, Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. I want you to imagine, I want you to emphasize with the Jewish people for a while. Imagine if you are one of the Jewish households. Tapos, baby mo si Kevin. Baby mo si Brielle. Diba parang, man, ang cute nung baby ko, lulunurin ko. I mean, you have to follow that. Meaning to say, you know, that edict, that executive order brought a dilemma upon every Jewish household who's expecting a child or who has a baby boy, a baby child. The dilemma was, they needed to drown the baby if it's a boy. Kawawa naman yung mga lalaki, yung mga babae, pinapabayaan lang. Ba? If it's a boy, they need to drown the baby. Then, the other aspect of that is that they will risk their own lives if they don't follow the edict. So, at the end of the day, the question there is, who gets to live? Is it the child or the parents? So, that is the dilemma of every Jewish household at that time. And, you know, people don't care about freedom of speech. At this time, there's no such thing as freedom of speech. You can't go in front of the Pharaoh and protest in front of the Pharaoh like what people are doing right now. If you protest in front of the Pharaoh, man, kakainin ka ng buhay. You know what I'm talking about? This is something that is binding to all subjects in their land. So here's the thing. Here's the scenario. What did Amram and Jochebed do? So these are the parents of Moses. Diba? Ganda na pangalan nila, no? Okay? What did Amram and Jochebed do? Here's what happens. It says here, okay, they hid Moses for 3 months. It says here, they were not afraid of the king's edict. I don't know with you, but if you look at that, you'd come to understand that there is an incongruity here. There is an incongruity here. Okay, meaning to say, something doesn't add up. Because it says here, they were not afraid, but they hid Moses. You folks catch that? So meaning to say, if you are really someone who's not afraid of the king's edict, you would have brought Moses out there in the neighbors. Hey, I'm not afraid of the king's edict. That would have been a show of courage, telling every single one on the land, your neighbors, that you're not afraid of the king's edict. But it says here, they hid Moses. They were not afraid of the king. So what does it mean? It simply means that by hiding and saving their son, they risked their own lives. They were not afraid for their own lives on account of their son. Like what I said a while ago, this is a choice between Moses or his parents. And you know, his parents, by faith, chose to save their child's life at the risk of their own life. So meaning to say, what they have displayed by doing this, by hiding their son, biruin mo, 3 months nilang tinago yung anak nila. I don't know what they were doing, di ba? Imagine you hiding your baby for 3 months. Your baby's crying. How can you do something like that? How can you hide your child? So, baka tinatakpan nila ng una, baka tumahimik ka. Di ba? So what did they do here? What have they displayed? They have displayed what? Such courage and love. They showed courage in the face of this opposition, or rather, persecution. And because of that, they have showed that they have commanded love towards their child. So what was the motivation behind this? How come the parents of Moses were able to make such a big decision? Because I want you to understand this. During that time, imagine the thousands of children who were drowning in the Nile. Imagine the number of households in the evening with women and men crying over the death of their child, using their own hands or the midwife's hands. There was wailing and crying during that time. How come? What was their motivation for doing such a thing, for displaying such courage and love? And we can find that in this word right here. And the word that we're pulling up here is the word beautiful. It says here, the child, when they saw the child, when he was born, when they saw the child, the Bible says, they saw that the child was beautiful. Sino po sa inyo yung pinakanak kayo, maganda kayo? Hanggang ngayon, di ba? You don't believe that? Now, that is the account in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you go to the account in the book of Exodus, the narrative there, it says here, the woman conceived and bore a son, Moses. When the woman saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Catch it? Now, if you remember Stephen, the disciple who was stoned to death, started preaching about Moses as well. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, here's what he says. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. What do we have here? Is it because Moses was cute? Most likely, he was cute. Probably, he had deep blue eyes, mahaba na yung pilik mata niya, and all of these things. Amoy baby, of course. But I want us to understand, by saying or declaring, that this child was beautiful, in all of those accounts, in the book of Acts, in the book of Hebrews, and the book of Exodus, I want us to understand, is this thing goes beyond the physical. It goes beyond the physical. Because it says here in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, he was beautiful in God's sight. Now, that's not an insult. Hindi yung parang, mami, maganda ba ako? Maganda ka sa mata ng Panginoon. Hindi po ganun yun. Okay? He was beautiful in God's sight. Okay, what does it mean? Okay, the word simply means asteos to thei, which means beautiful unto God. Meaning to say, by faith, the parents of Moses, when he was born, have already acknowledged that this child has God's sight set on him. By faith, they knew for a fact that there's something great is going to come out of this child. That is why that has become their motivation. The motivation behind them hiding their son for 3 months. You know what I want us to understand is, you know, that faith allows us to see the God-given destiny of an individual. Faith allows us to see prophetically. And thereby, allowing us to act in courage and love. You folks catch that? Sometimes when you talk to people and you see their situation, when you are discipling someone, you're leading someone to Christ, you're raising a leader, you're discipling someone. Can I see your hand for a while? Okay. If you're discipling someone, sometimes when you talk to people, like even in a church gathering like this one, okay, ito na lang yung tanong ko. Who am I here believes that you are not perfect? You're not perfect. Okay, so not as perfect as your seatmate. Diba? We all have issues in life, is it right? We all have issues in life. We are all broken. We stand before God and we are all broken. It's just that, you know, we're broken differently. Okay, we're just broken differently. Now, sometimes when you talk to people, you become frustrated, you become disappointed, because all you see are the brokenness. Faith allows us to see prophetically that this man is like this now, but because of faith, I will what? I will claim so many great things for this man. You know what? If you are a parent, how does this apply to you? If you are a parent, are you claiming and declaring the prophetic destiny of your child? Every single day, are you claiming and declaring? You claim and you decree. You what? You declare. Because the Bible says we are what? We are a royal priesthood. So we intercede and we give out decrees. So are we doing that for our child? Or we keep saying, ah, sa mukha yun ni, gibuhat na pud niya ni. Or if you are a discipler, are you claiming and declaring the prophetic destiny of the person that you're discipling? Perhaps right now, they don't look anything like a leader. But because you see things prophetically, by faith, you see the great destiny of this person. Are folks with me? You see the great destiny of this man right here. Now, sometimes, this may not apply to other people. This may not apply to your child. This may not apply to your daughter. This may not apply to your son. And most likely, this will not apply to your dogs, right? So, but sometimes, this applies to yourselves. This applies to ourselves. Okay, meaning to say, sometimes we look at our situation and you feel like, man, I look at my own capacity, I look at my own skill set, and I feel like I cannot serve in this capacity. Faith allows us to declare things for ourselves, declaring the very promises of God about us, declaring the very perspective of God about His son and about His daughter. It takes faith to see things prophetically. And that is the motivation of the parents of Moses. Now, here's what we're going to do. We've looked into verse 23. That was verse 23, 24, 25, down to 27. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump straight to verse 27. We're going to jump straight to verse 27. And this scenario was 40 years later. So, Moses was probably around, what, 40, 41, I don't know, 40 years old. Okay, in the words of Tom, ish. Okay, so something like that. Anyone here who's in your 40s now? Come on now, can I see your hand? Anyone who's in their 40s, okay, yan. Okay, so, tandaan niyo po to. Nung 40 si Moses, doon niya po natanggap yung calling niya kay Lord. Nas naman. Okay, it's not yet too late. Now, it says here, verse 27, like what I said. Look at this one. It says here, by faith, Moses left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'd like for us to put our attention here. You would notice that the situation 40 years later that involved Moses, to a certain extent, is the same situation or resembles the experience of his parents 40 years back. Okay? Now, what is the backstory here? The backstory here is found in Exodus chapter 2, the second chapter of the book of Exodus. It says here, one day when Moses had grown up, 40 to be exact, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. You know this story, right? Beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Now, here's what happened. He looked this way and that. And here's what he did. Seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Okay, parang tayo ba? You look to the left, you look to the right. Walang tao. Okay, kakainin ko na to. That's basically what Moses did. Okay, struck the Egyptian when no one was looking around. Let's jump straight to verse 14. It says here, when he was trying to pacify two Hebrew guys fighting, it says here, he answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses realized and he was afraid and thought, surely the thing is known. So meaning to say, he was like thinking, all right, I'm trying to pacify these guys, but this other person told him, okay, are you here to judge us? Didn't you know that everybody knows that you killed someone yesterday? So when he learned that, that's where, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 takes in. It says here, by faith he left Egypt because the matter was known throughout the land. So it says here, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the king's anger, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let's look at verse 23 and put verse 27 right there. It says here, look at this one, verse 23 and verse 27. Here's what happened. The scenario here was, both of them did something. The parents of Moses, two groups of people. Okay, the parents of Moses, they hid Moses. For Moses, he left. Okay, he left, but verse 23 and verse 27, both verses explains that both this group of people were not afraid. It seems like their action of leaving and hiding was a showcase of fear. But it says here very clearly that they hid Moses and they were not afraid, and he left and he was not afraid. In fact, in the account of Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, it says here that Moses was afraid and thought, surely the thing is known. So here's the question I want to pull up for everyone. Was fear his motivation for fleeing Egypt? Was fear, okay, because we're in verse 27 now, we've already answered verse 23. Was fear the motivation? Was fear really, fear of the Pharaoh, was the motivation of Moses for fleeing Egypt? Okay, so here's what we have. For us to understand this verse right here, with regards to his motivation for leaving Egypt, for fleeing Egypt, we need to look at the word endured. Okay? We need to look at the word endured. So, let me just put this out now. It wasn't fear. Okay? It wasn't fear that caused him to leave Egypt. It was endurance. It wasn't fear that caused Moses to leave Egypt, to flee Egypt, but it was endurance. The question that is ringing in our mind right now is endurance over what? Okay, endurance over what? How come you're telling me that that was the motivation of Moses? Now, first, let's look at endurance first. Let's look at endurance for a while. You know, endurance implies the presence of something difficult. Okay, for example, you know, several years ago, I went into this one CrossFit gym in the city. Some of you know this story. Okay, one CrossFit gym. Seriously, I wanna enroll in the class. I wanna enroll in the class. So, but you know, I went there at lunchtime. I went there at noontime. So, you know, Dumaguete being Dumaguete, sometimes some shops, some stores are closed at noontime. So I went there. So the moment I got in, I saw these very huge tires. There were huge tires everywhere. There was this very thick rope, like this thick. The ropes used to haul in the ships, the boats. So it was that thick. And then I saw many other stuff there. And then on the board, it says, go hard or go home. Go hard or go home. So you know what? The competitive nature in me was there. Being the passionate man that I am, you know what I did? I went home. Okay? So I went home. So it doesn't apply to me. So, but for some of you, okay, for Pastor Kin, you know, Pastor Kin, did a 100-kilometer marathon. 100-kilometer? You know what you call people like that? Crazy. Crazy. 100-kilometer marathon. Why do you have to kill yourself, right? So, anyway, you know, endurance implies the presence of something difficult. So, it says here that Moses flee, and the motivation behind that is endurance. It says here, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, this is where, for us to understand this story, this is where verse 24 down to 26 comes in. We've covered verse 23. We've looked at verse 27, a snapshot of these two. But for us to understand this thing, what is sandwiched in there is the story of Moses. What was it that he did that basically wraps up this entire story? It says here, I place all three verses in one slide. In verse 24 to 26, it says here, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the reward. Three verses there. First, I want us to understand this story. The cornerstone of this story are these words right here. All of these things were done by faith. Everybody say, by faith. So what did he do? Or what did he not do? Okay, what are the things that he didn't do? First, it says here, it talks about what? It talks about the privilege of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What does it mean? It gives you a picture that if you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter, you are the what? The grandson of the Pharaoh. What does it imply? It implies what? Popularity. Right? It implies fame. What else? It implies power. It implies prestige. Something that even our generation are clamoring for. If you are the grandson of the Pharaoh, you have VIP access everywhere. Man, what a life. Is it right? Have you ever been treated like a VIP somewhere? In cinemas or anywhere? Meron ba ganun? Sa church po, hindi nyo makukuha yan. So the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Another thing was, he had the opportunity to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Name it, you're gonna have it. It's like whatever Moses wanted, he could have it at a snap of a finger. He could basically tell his aides, whatever you want to call them, his servants, slaves, I want this. Drive me to that hotel. Get me these kinds of girls. You know what I'm talking about. He had the opportunity right at his very hand to have something like this. Not just that, it says here, it starts talking about the treasures of Egypt. We're talking about money. Dollars, what name it, type Bitcoin, meron dyan. Wealth, girls, whatever. Everything are in his disposal. It's basically made available for him. But look at this one. Here's what happened. It says here, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was like saying, I'd rather be a nobody than be associated with this person. I'm more than willing to renounce my royalty than be associated with evil. And he did this by faith. Then it says here, by faith, he chose against enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, he chose against, at least in our generation right now, by faith, he chose against pornography. By faith, he chose against having sexual relations with someone who is not my wife, who's not my husband. The word adultery is the word adulterat, which means corrupt. It means deeming something unuseful because something is already corrupt. That is what adultery means. By faith, it gives us a picture that Moses chose against this. I want you to understand this. We are not a product of our circumstance. We are a product of our choice. And every single day of our life, we are given the opportunity to make moral decisions for ourselves. We are given the opportunity to turn off the laptop, to close the laptop, to unplug the laptop. We are given the opportunity to say no to someone. Magba-Valentine's pa naman. We are given the opportunity to say no into things that will not honor God. Moses was able to choose against all of these things by faith. Then it also says here that by faith, he considered the treasures of Egypt in pale comparison to the treasures of Christ. Ibig sabihin po, kaya niyang matulog ng mahimbing sa gabi na walang anxiety because he trusts that his God is the provider. It also gives us a picture that, you know, Moses had this in mind that, you know what, I am working not for my own glory, but I'm working, yes, to provide for my family. But whatever my work is, I look to God and trust God and fix my eyes on Jesus. I will not skim and cheat my way towards provision because I will trust that the God that I worship is my provider. That I don't need to have the fame, that I don't need to have the power in order to have money. That in plenty or in lack, I will worship God. He did all of these things by faith. And I want us to understand, you know, the one critical thing that we need to look at here is Acts chapter 7, verse 22. It says here, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. Diba, sabi ni Moses, I'm not of eloquent speech. But it's very clear here. He was man. Listen, Egypt at that time was a very sophisticated culture. I mentioned this in our Friday youth service. Remember, one of the patriarchs of Moses, Joseph, he was tempted where? He was tempted right there in Egypt. Right? And the person who was tempting him was someone who had everything in life. I mean, all of your makeups combined, your naked palette, whatever it is that you have, all of that combined, it doesn't mean anything to the Egyptian people. Yet they have developed this, all of this makeup. Yung pilik mata nun, ayoko na pumunta doon. But he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. I want you to understand this. He was, quote-unquote, discipled in Egypt. I want you to take note of this one. How come he was able to refuse? He was able to choose against? He was able to consider the treasures of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt? How was he able to do that despite the fact that he was instructed in the Egyptian culture? I want us to understand, when he was hidden for 3 months, you know the story, right? When he was hidden for 3 months, and then he was left to float on the Nile, you know, placed in a basket, and he was adopted by the Pharaoh, and he was given back to the family for them to take care of him. He stayed with them at least 12 years. He stayed with his family despite being associated with the Pharaoh. He stayed with his own family for 12 years. Enough time to disciple someone and lay foundation. Enough time for him to hear about Noah, about Abraham, about Joseph, about his patriarch. Enough time for him to understand about the covenant of God. And despite the fact that he was instructed when he was 14, when he was 15, deep inside of him are the foundations that his parents have already established. Mind difference. I want you to understand this. This is the importance of having biblical foundations. Because 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, you will be what? You will be utilizing this for your life. You know, it gives us a picture that by doing all of these things, it gives us a picture that before he left Egypt physically, he has already left Egypt in his heart. He was no longer there. He was already out of the game. He was just doing it. Well, at least this is a bad scenario. I was talking with a student. Sabi niya, gusto ko maging pastor. Gusto ko maging campus missionary, sabi niya sa akin. So sabi niya, actually, hindi to ikaw, Kevin. Actually, Juan, gusto ko maging pastor. Actually, yung studies ko ngayon, dinadaanan ko na lang yan. Well, of course, parang ganun po yun, pero hindi, we shouldn't do it that way, okay? If you're a student, be excellent in your studies right now, okay? Para po si Engineer Lloyd. But you know, for Moses, before he left Egypt physically, he has already left Egypt in his heart. You know, even when he was there, his heart was no longer there. His heart, on the onset, has always been with God. It has always been with God. You know, faith, friends, refuses, chooses, and considers. Brings me to Psalm chapter 80, where it says, better is one in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Lord, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house than dwell in the tents of the wicked. That resonates in our spirit when we look at the story of Moses. Doesn't end there. Look at this one. It says here, by faith he refused, by faith he chose against, by faith he considered. So what are the things that he did then? He didn't just say no. He said yes to something else. Or folks, with me. You know, faith makes us allows us or gives us the capacity to say yes and to say no. On the onset, what we have is that he said no to so many things. The fleeting pleasures of sin and all of these things. But it also says here that he said yes to being mistreated with the people of God. It also says here that he chose to what? He chose the reproach of Christ than the treasures of Egypt, than the wealth of Egypt. He said, it was like saying, I may be suffering, but as long as I am in God, totally fine. Then be somewhere else and enjoying so many things without the presence of God. This is a more fulfilling life. A life that exudes peace for that matter. How did all of these things happen? How did Moses choose this? He did this by faith. You know, John Owen says, do I consider the worst that comes with God to be better than the best that comes with the world? There are things that faith accepts, and there are things that faith rejects. If you have faith in God, you will say yes to the things of God. You will say no that will destroy the things of God in your life. Your faith is shown by the choices that you make. Let me just finish this by looking further. It says here, this motivation was he was looking forward to the reward. What does it mean? I want you to understand this. Listen, you do things for God. Do you think those things don't go unnoticed? If I say no to an ungodly relationship, if I say no to a money that will make me rich yet destroy other people, if I say no to cheating, if I say no to adultery, if I say no to gossip, if I say no to all of these things, listen, are these things in vain? No. I want you to understand this 9 a.m. service. God is a rewarder. God rewards people. He rewards you for your good works. Friends, time will come when we will stand before God and we will give an account to God as to how we lived our lives as Christians. Ayoko pong sabihin sa akin ni God, Archie, pambira, grabe yung participation mo sa gossip. Sa 80 years ng buhay mo, 42 years kang nagagossip, pambira. Ayoko pong sabihin ni Lord sa akin, Archie, pambira. Nakita mo yung ginawa mo sa poor person na yun. Wala ka man lang heart to pray for that person. Archie, ibang klase ka magmaneho. Yung busina mo parang it's like you're cursing people. Archie, alam ko saan ka nakatingin, hindi sa asawa mo, sa ibang tao. Archie, pambira, ginawa mo. You know what I'm talking about? Would you want God to say these things to you? Or you would say, man, well done, good and faithful servant. Faith allows us to choose to say no and to say yes in different things. Let me end with this one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 and 27. It says here, they did these things. They saw prophetically, and he saw that who is invisible. Yun po yung motivation behind all of these things. Meaning to say, they hid and they flee, not out of fear, but because they were looking forward to the reward, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That they're more than willing to go through all the hardships, all the persecution, all the trials, all the backbiting, all the nasty words, all of these things. And they're wearing like a badge of their Christianity. Why? Because they're looking forward to Christ, their very reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says here, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Suffer for righteousness' sake. Suffer for righteousness' sake, and God will reward you for that. Let me end with this verse right here. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is only I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Amen.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytomaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.